Welcome, this is Beyond the Here. Now I'm your host, Antonia Lau, and this is the show that will take you a moment to wrap your heads around new thought, new thinking, new ideology that you can talk, think, and to believe about yourself, the world around you, and your place in it. Today's topic, we're going to talk about the world you find around you right now. Now, this is interesting because it took a long time, decades, even centuries, literally, for this to come about as we see in the world around us, the state of the world, the state of the population, the psyche, the tyranny, the control, the mechanisms that are used that we see now all around us. But this didn't just start just a few months ago, not even 2 or 3 years ago. People don't realize that Albert Pike was head of the Masons, and literally his philosophy was at that time, we have too many humans on the planet. This was in the late 1800s, and he's written discourse to show that. Around 1910, 1911, the entire elite at that point, especially from John D. Rockefeller Sr. on, thought this 2.2 billion people on the planet is too many people. Well, that's not true. Because at that time, up into the 50s, we could take the entire world population, and if they all lived in Alaska, they could live in a home with 4 or 5 people each, and literally have 5 miles around them, or 5 acres actually around them, and there'd still be plenty of room and green space, literally green space for the entire population of the world. That's hard to realize, right? But it's the facts and the case. And so when we talk about the resources, or when people talk about the lack of resources, that's not really true. When we hear about the climate changes, we know something is going on, but it's not all weather manipulation, part of it, but not all of it. And we also realize the controls that have been dominated by mainstream media as we see them. Now, much of the information is not getting out to the population at all. Okay. If it's local, then you might hear some smattering of it, but not on a grand scale far away around the world to what's really happening. And there's a reason for that. And I was aware of this reason many, many years ago when I started to research deeply into what was really going on around the world. Edgar Cayce tells us it was never meant to be top-down control on the planet, ever. Not on this planet, not in its 4.5 billion year history, no matter what scientists try to tell you. What ends up happening is, he said, it is this way today that we see. This is the world we have created. He said, because we, and he called us the bottom ups, did nothing. We didn't do a thing. We just complied. We continue to comply. So since the top-down tyranny became stronger, this is the point at this we see in our lifetime that we have to do something. And it doesn't mean we have to have a war as they would choose, because, you know, they've created all of those. Yes, all creation for their benefit. To lower the vibratory rate of the planet and of humankind, and the evolutionary journey of humankind. All this was a mechanism to do so. So you have to understand that the powers that be don't quite have our best interest, so to speak, in their minds. They have their interest. Now, in the World War II situation we saw, it took 9 years for them to incrementally increase to that heinous worldview that we saw. From the annihilation of peoples, to concentration camps, to all those sort of things that nobody realized those little small little steps, incremental steps were leading to. It took 9 years. That gradual approach has been their use and their plan, and it has been successful. The same thing with the same use that we believe. Remember when you were a child, I could say back in the baby boomers' time, the baby boomers got a few shots before they had to go to school. You know, something like 50 from the time they were born to the time they were in their teens. Now the average child gets those shots about 250 by the time they are entering high school. And unfortunately, those chemicals have caused a big reaction in humankind. Now remember, I said earlier, their whole point was to annihilate the population they thought was too many. Now, God and the divine universe doesn't make mistakes. We are here because we are granted permission and opportunity to come to Earth. I call this Earth School 101. Yeah, it can be a tough school, but all these events that are here now, you have to remind yourself, think, you asked to be here exactly at this time in history. And Casey confirms that each person has a purpose or a mission. Clean up their own personality garbage, things like that, things in their life, their karma, their things of, like I said, that they want to achieve and improve, personality traits they want to get rid of, things they want to enhance, talents they want to utilize for their greater soul growth, because that's all we take out of the planet. Once we leave, it's our soul growth, not our bank accounts, not our accolades, not our titles. But we also promise to leave the world better than when we came. That's what we promised. Now, because free will is the exhibit on the planet, we've been allowed that opportunity. We're supposed to use it judiciously. But look at your own life to see if you've been doing that and see what the world is doing right now. So the condition of the world is so that those in power, Casey says, will be knocked because we will rise. He says the people will win. He said this long ago, and he saw into the future and saw that we win this. We, because we finally unify. There is one human race on the planet, only one. And yes, we come in this nice assortment of different looks, and I wear different clothes than you might. The whole point is we're all one human race, and that unification is what will happen. Casey says there will be coming this time, and we see it now, when we, the people, he states, will follow what the founding fathers had started long ago in the US. He said they were pure of state at that time. They wanted the best, and their intentions on the document, on the Declaration of Independence, were not mere words. He said they were an eternal declaration throughout time that we would adhere to. And so he stated that we would see this rise, we the people in the US, yet again, and it would carry over throughout the entire world. And literally, the number one main, or the main goals of the original Masons, not the ones that have been sullied, so to speak, the original Masons, those creeds, actually three of them, but their number one was brotherhood. Number two, compassion. Number three, relief. So it's an extremely important situation you see yourself in. And so, what you've heard on mainstream media about a so-called virus, a so-called need for shots, you have to think what's really going on. If we recall just a few years ago, before Prince Philip, the husband and prince consort of Queen Elizabeth before she passed, stated, if I return and reincarnate, I want to be reincarnated as a virus that wipes out the population. You see, he was already part of the inside group that are the puppets that are running the world we see today. But it is your world. We stand as a people, as a population for humankind, in the name of God, Creator, Divine Universe, in the highest ways. So we want to inspire in the highest ways those yourself reach deep and look further for more information. Today's topic we're going to cover is what the heck is going on in the world today? And I'm happy to state that we have my guest today, literally on, as how can I say, my co interview today with, and I'm going to just change this for a second. I will have to cut that I'm asking you to start your video, and I'll start that intro again. Okay, and I have with me today my guest, Donald Lee, the author and speaker, and he is the author of your book. Please tell us the title.
Well, the question everybody's been asking, what the hell is going on? And the subtitle is The Web of Fraud That Is Enslaving Everyone and How We Can Escape to Freedom.
Excellent.
Thank you. And good morning, Antonia.
Thank you so much for being with us today. And I love the premise of the book and what the content holds for us, for those that need to reach deeper and not sure how this all came about, the state of affairs that we and as individuals have faced and the world faces today. So please tell us your background a little bit, please, and how you came to the book.
Well, thank you, Antonia, and it's a pleasure to be here again. I have what's sometimes called a checkered background.
All right.
I count I'm now a spiritual author and speaker, and I count this as my third career. I spent almost 2 decades in the fertilizer industry in Western Canada, kind of by default. But I went through a whole bunch of things. Took a job as a laborer at one point about 1980 or so, because I needed the job for a few months to get some money together. And life happens. One thing led to another. And I ended up spending almost 2 decades in that industry. I
Wow.
moved over into process operations and our ammonia plant, our utilities plant, became a power engineer, went back to university, got a degree in economics. I was technically a full-time student at university for 4 years while we're still working full-time shift work at the plant and trying to be a full-time husband and a full-time father to 4 kids. And as you can
Wow.
imagine, doing badly at everything. But when I graduated with my economics degree, I was able to weasel my way into a job in the fertilizer marketing department. And then after a while, moved over and worked in our fertilizer new products research group for several years. And then about the turn of the century, got laid off. And I went back to my first love, which is music. I'm a musician and a band director. And I went back to university, got another degree in education, and right about the turn of the century became a newly minted band director. And I spent almost 2 decades as a teacher and a band director, mostly in Western Canada, but I also taught for a couple of years in Kuwait and a couple of years in Pakistan. So I've taught in other, lived in other countries of the world too. And then I officially retired from teaching in 2019 and published my first book, which is it's a book of modern day parables. It's called The Band Director's Lessons About Life. And those of you who are watching the video part of this can see my pre-COVID hair
You
for
froze for a
most of my
second.
adult life until March of 2020 came along, and here in Canada they shut down everything, including the haircutting joints. And so I couldn't get my hair cut. And then you get used to your hair being a certain length, and when it gets a little bit longer, it starts to bug you. And it was bugging me. It was hitting my ears, and it was irritating, and I was annoyed for a couple of weeks. And finally, I decided, well, piss on it. I won't cut my hair till we get freedom back. So this, what you're seeing now is 3 years of hair growth. It's I've gone back to my kind of teenage rebellious hippie self because it's time for rebellion again. And so I call this my Gandalf look.
Very good.
So
People don't realize.
yeah, I published this. It's a little bit like a chicken soup for the soul book. There's 50 little parables. Each one's about 3 pages long, and each one starts out with a story that, like the Hollywood movies say, it's inspired by real events. But I've changed things to suit my, to hide the guilty, to protect the guilty, and to suit my own purposes. And then there's a little reflection section that draws a spiritual lesson out of the events of the story. So there's a little parable on love and a parable on forgiveness and a parable on perseverance, et cetera, 50 little parables. And I published this in December 2019. Well, in retrospect, we know now what was going on in December of 2019 in Wuhan, but we didn't know at the time, right? And I'm not famous like you,
I'm not
Antonia.
famous.
So, I can't just put it out there to millions of imaginary followers on social media. But as long as I could go around physically and talk to people about my book, I could sell, at least a few copies. So in January and February of 2020, I traveled around Alberta, where I live. And I had some book launch events and some book signings in bookstores and that sort of thing. And I could sell some books. Well, in March of 2020, I was just in the process of planning a cross-Canada book-selling tour when the whole world shut down. I thought, this is the flu. What the hell's going on? Which, unbeknownst to me at the time, became the title of this current book. What the hell's going on? Right? The web of fraud that is enslaving everyone and how we can escape freedom. So, I mean, I had booked myself in as a speaker at a couple conferences in 2020, and one of my goals for 2020, top of my list of goals, was to, get into doing some public speaking and to start getting paid for public speaking. Well, all the conferences were shut down, couldn't have a meeting, couldn't have more than, you know, six people in Canada, most places in a group. So like my plans for 2020 were thrown out the window, like so many people's, right? Our lives were turned upside
Everyone.
down. Yeah. So, I mean, this was, a fraud, as I eventually came to realize, that had affected everybody's lives in a way that we couldn't just ignore it anymore. You
Correct.
know, all these things that have been going on for decades, most of us, including me, I had my own life to live.
Yes.
Like I'd known as an economist that monetary policy hadn't made sense for a quarter of a century,
Correct.
and in this climate hysteria has not made scientific sense for four decades. But you know, that's not my job. It's not my area of expertise, and I've got my own job, my own career, my own family, my own community to be a part of. Right? I just like almost everybody, I went on with my own life as best I could and figured out, well, you know what? Cooler minds will prevail, things will sort themselves out, the truth will eventually come out. And but with COVID, we couldn't just go on with our lives anymore because they didn't allow us to go on with our
Correct.
lives. So I ended up doing what we now call going down the rabbit hole, trying to figure out what the hell's going on, because this is obviously lies on the surface. Nothing made sense. And this
Correct.
is what's cluing in so many people, you know, that things just don't make sense anymore.
Correct.
I mean, everything from the climate to the COVID to this like absolute nonsense about men can have babies too, you know, hold it. This has become absurd. You know, so this is what's cluing in a lot of people to hold it. What the hell is really going on? So in the course of my going down the rabbit hole and doing research, and I'd started to put some, you know, to pull some ideas together to make connections between things that didn't seem to be connected.
Good.
And by about the end of 2020, you know, I started thinking, because I'd been, fo I mean, I followed the alternate news and I was looking, you know, following YouTube videos and stuff. And I thought, okay, like some of the things that I'm seeing in this, nobody's talking about. I can't be the only one, you know, that's put some of these pieces together. So, you know, I write a blog. It's not nearly as regular as it used to be. I tried to do it weekly at that time. And right now I try to get out, you know, monthly or, you know, twice a month or something like that. But I thought, okay, I'll write a blog post about this. And I try to keep my blog posts fairly short, maybe 500 words or so, you know, so they don't take a long time to read. Well, this ran into the thousands of words. And I thought, okay, I can't put it in one blog post. I'll make a series of blog posts. And I started, you know, putting these out on my website and stuff. And I started getting some feedback from readers, and I realized, they're not getting it. Okay, I can't even put it into a series of blog posts. I'm going to have to write a book, but just a little book, just maybe a little booklet, maybe 30,000 words to kind of pull some of these ideas together, make sense. So I started writing January of 2021. I started writing this book to explain what the hell's going on. And, you know, 5 months later, I finished the first draft. So what I thought would be maybe 30,000 words, well, 200,000 words later, the first draft was done. So
Wow.
readers will be happy to know I cut it down a lot, but it's still a substantial book because there's a lot of dots to connect in this connect the dots picture. And there's even some important ones that I decided that, you know, there's several chapters. In the first draft, I had a chapter on sex and I had a chapter on Satanism. And, you know, with some feedback from some of my early beta readers, I thought, you know what, both of these topics are so controversial and
Right.
actually so big that each of them is going to require a whole book all to itself. So I took those part, but they also play a part in
That's
this
right.
whole web of fraud, but they're not included in this book. This book has, I only put in things that I could find adequate material evidence for. It's
Perfect.
really a book about evidence.
Perfect.
Yeah, so that's kind of where, how, kind of how my life has evolved and how I've got to the point where I'm at now.
You know, it's interesting because people are just some of those that are scratching the surface at this time. And some of us, as you did, we started to research years and years ago, as I did. But I'm going to just share this little portion for the audience to understand. In 2011, I was scheduled 6 months prior to do a conference, to do a couple of workshops, a spiritual metaphysical conference. And I ended up earlier that month. listening or being guided, actually directed and guided to a particular 3-hour interview by an ex-elite whistleblower. And I listened intently to the entire thing. I board the ship the next morning, and as I'm 17 restaurants, huge ship, I'm hoping just for a small table alone with nobody else, just to collect my thoughts for the first time. And the other speakers were Daniel Brinkley, Dr. Carl Johan Kallman, Dr. Richard Hoagland, the illustrious speakers. So I was happy to be part of this group. And I just wanted that quiet. And all of a sudden, the adjacent table, this couple kept smiling at me. And I happened to ask where the silver or the utensils were for that morning. And he just said, "Is there some sort of special meeting on?" And I said, "Yes." And so what ended up happening was, I said, "But your face is familiar." It was the gentleman I've been watching the entire month, the ex-elite whistleblower, sitting right next to me out of 17 restaurants on the ship. And I thought, "You've got to be kidding." He said, "Please join us." So
And
I was,
there are no coincidences, right?
none, none. So I ended up joining them. I couldn't believe it. I missed, like I said, one of the meetings I was going to attend for one of the guests I'd had on my show prior, but it was more intense. So that time, that week, Donald, I had only three dinners and two lunches, all at his invitation, except for one with the group. And I couldn't believe I would soak up all this information. And this is what he told me. He said, "Well, Antonio, you're aware of the Georgia Guidestones, right?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, they're serious." I said, "Oh, come on, they can't be serious." He said, "No, they're serious." I said, "Come on, no." He said, "Antonio, I'm trying to tell you, I was in on all the meetings for decades." He was a financial investment banker, so he was right with them. He said, "They're serious." He said, "We keep creating all these viruses, but it's not killing enough people." And then he said, "But we have a big one planned for China." And he smiled. That was in March of 2011. And so he went on to explain what was happening. And I had already realized how the AIDS virus had been controlled and started and created back in the 80s. And I was aware of several of those things and had confirmation on those. And so I listened intently and asked him every question. And people don't realize this. He said, "Antonia," he said, "the plan is only 100 million of us as the elite, and only 400 million left around the world to serve them. No one that is over 45, no one that is not Caucasian." That's what he said. "In the United States, only 20 million or 20 million people total." And he said, "They're serious." He said, "They've been planning this for decades." But he had a spiritual and then a moral epiphany, or moral and then a spiritual epiphany, either way. And he left the group. And so it was kind of an amazing thing to have met and talked. And that's when I started archiving some of my radio shows, because what he had to say on my show right after that was phenomenal. So the first couple of shows are him. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how do we handle this in the world? Here, this plan had been going on for decades. And so you swung through those plans. And I'm just going to start you off, because people don't realize, and I knew this in March 2020, that the virus, after it had been encoded and experimented and found and researched, it started at the Department of Defense lab at Fort Detrick, was got, how can I say it, submitted to the Winnipeg, to the university there, and some way got to the Wuhan lab that just happens to be partially owned by GlaxoSmithKline, who happened to produce and partly own Pfizer. Isn't that amazing? And all the vax companies. So all that, and we've now seen the resurgence of all this. So can you tell us a little more of when you went down the rabbit hole, what you realized and what you found and confirmed for us?
Sure, Antonia. Now, of course, it was a gradual process, right?
Correct.
Because they call it a rabbit hole because, like, you go down one hole and you think, oh, there's a line that goes over there, and there's in like a little breadcrumb trail that really leads over this way and that way, and oh my goodness, which one do I go down, right? And the subtitle, right, the web of fraud. And so it really is a web, because all of these, I discuss about 10 or 12 different frauds in the book.
Good.
All of them, of course, man-made, all of them,
Good.
created,
Wow.
that most people are convinced to believe are true. And but most of the book focuses on what I call the four big frauds. all characterized as wars, and this is psychologically important too,
Exactly.
right? The war on drugs, the war on terror, the war on the climate, the war on the virus. And so a lot of the book is based on that. But I also bring in like the kind of the medical nutrition fraud hell for pretty much my
Perfect.
whole life, right? Our governments have been giving us pretty much the worst possible nutrition advice to essentially destroy the metabolic health of the whole world.
Correct.
And then, oh, just coincidentally, this COVID, this SARS-CoV-2 virus comes along that targets what? You know, who the highest risk group was those who are like in poor metabolic health. And which includes the old and the obese, et
Right.
cetera, right?
Right.
So the medical fraud ties in, but of course the financial currency fraud ties into this. That's leading us into the central bank digital currencies. As far as I can see, I'm not huge economist, but I have a degree in economics, so I'm not an
Yes.
idiot. I see some
Of
things.
course.
It seems to me that they are intentionally destroying our currencies.
Bingo.
Like it's, you know, what the whole sequence of decisions that our monetary authorities have made for decades is just like it can't be a mistake. And this is a pattern, right? So right at the beginning, I talk a lot about patterns. It's all about pattern recognition. This is what police detectives do. This is what intelligence agents do. They're trying to identify, okay, is this guy a terrorist or not a terrorist? Well, do the pattern of his activities follow the pattern of a terrorist or not? If they don't follow the pattern of a terrorist, he's not a terrorist,
Sure.
right? And of course, artificial intelligence programs on
Yes.
our computers do this. They look for patterns. But the
Correct.
thing is that we're, and th you know, the simplest example, I guess everybody's heard the old expression, right? If it looks like a duck, swims like a duck, flies like a duck, quacks like a duck. Hey, it's not a spaceship. It's a
Thank
duck,
you.
right? So, because there's a pattern there. All of us have seen a duck. And if you're really good with your wildlife identification, you can tell, oh, that's a male or female, right? That's a drake or a hen. You can tell, oh, you see the green head, right? There's only two ducks that have a green head. And here on the Canadian prairies, like about 99% of the green-headed ducks are drake mallards. So, like, there's a small number of key identifying features, right? In certain patterns, if you see those features, you know that's a drake mallard. And the same way with other things, other types of patterns. There's oftentimes a small number of key identifying features, and if you see that feature happening, you can uniquely identify that pattern. So, but the thing is that most of us are never taught these patterns, right?
Right.
The pattern of communist subversion. Nobody's ever taught
Correct.
this. The pattern of psychological warfare. I'm a band director. Why would I know anything about psychological warfare, right? I
Yep.
didn't, right? The pattern of fifth generation warfare. I'd never even heard the term
Yes.
until, you know, the last few years when I was involved in researching this book and down that rabbit hole came, what the heck is fifth generation? So I had to learn about that. But we don't know these patterns. So when we look out at the events of the world, the events appear random, right? Like a connect the dots picture before you connect the dots. Or they appear to be something they're not, right? We think, oh, this is, you know, people, mistakes were made. Hey, how often have you heard that term? Oh, mistakes were made. Hold it. Let's think a little bit about the pattern of mistakes. No, this is definitely not the pattern of mistakes. This is the pattern of lies. Sometimes I say that, you know, most of us, when we're growing up, we learned that you can never tell just one lie, right? Little Johnny goes somewhere after school. He's not supposed to go, right? And when he shows up for supper, his mom says, "Hey, Johnny, you know, where were you after school?" "Oh, I was at Billy's house." First lie, right? And then his mom says, "Oh, well, but I called Billy's house and talked to his mom, and she said you weren't there." Okay, so now you got to tell a second lie to cover up the first lie, right? So, because I wasn't in Billy's house. Billy and I were playing in the park across the street, so I didn't actually see Billy's mom. And then your mother says, "Oh, well, But Billy's mom asked Billy. He was right there in the kitchen. Billy said he didn't know where you
Oh,
are. So now the second lie gets found out. Now you got to quickly come up with a third lie to cover up the second, and the fourth lie to cover up. Right? Most of us told lies at some point when we were growing up and figured out, holy cow, this is just too much work. It's, whatever the consequences, it's a lot better to just tell the truth. And
exactly.
so you can never have just one lie. You always develop a web of lies. And when a web of lies appears suddenly all at once, it had to be planned.
That's
This
correct.
doesn't occur naturally like this.
Correct.
A web of lies that appears suddenly all at once, that's a fraud. That's planned. And so when we see things like, for example, 9/11, by about noon on September 11th, the whole story appeared. Oh, it was these hitherto unknown terrorists living in some caves in Afghanistan that planned the whole thing. As I say, in the book, a military style attack
It's right.
carried out on the continental United States by a bunch of terrorists living in caves in Afghanistan on the same scale as the Imperial Japanese Navy pulled off at Pearl Harbor with four aircraft carriers and 1,000 planes.
Thank you.
There's a sketchy conspiracy theory.
Back there as well. It was a lie then,
Yeah,
how
yeah,
that
yeah.
came
So, when you see a whole web of lies that suddenly appears very quickly, and it had to be planned. So, you started, I talked for a long time there, but you started out asking me to kind of flesh out a little bit more about the book.
Yes.
So yeah, I talked about the nutrition and medical fraud, how
Perfect.
medicine has become a business model. It's not about health. We call it health care. Has nothing to do with health care. It's all about sickness care. And part of that model is to make you sick so that
Correct.
you can receive constant care for your whole life. It's
Correct.
never about curing you.
That's
Okay,
correct.
so this is a business model, and the whole drug fraud, it's a fraud.
Correct.
How can we fight a war on drugs for almost half a century now, and the war constantly gets worse? We constantly spend more money. It's constantly a bigger problem. Overdose deaths go up and up and up. Now in Canada, right? Legalizing small quantities of cocaine, for example, British Columbia a few months back.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. When I was there speaking to freedom groups in British Columbia, it
Yes.
was January or February, I think they came out with it. So it's now legal to have small amounts of cocaine. So it's not that the whole business is legalized, right? Because when you legalize a business, then you can open it up to real competition, and it's not. You don't have fantastic profits anymore. You have more normal profit levels, right? The whole reason that it's kept illegal, well, it's not the whole reason, but part of the reason that it's kept illegal is so that there can be like criminal level profits. It's a fantastic business model. I mean, simply in terms of business, of course, it destroys the lives of millions and millions of
Correct.
people. It
Correct.
corrupts our whole society and our whole economy. And in the chapter on where I look at the drug fraud,
Yes.
I go back to the prohibition times and say, look,
Perfect.
alcohol was outlawed. Here's some of the lessons that we learned, that corruption enters in, because like paying off police and judges and lawyers and politicians, that's so much cheaper than getting caught,
That's
right?
correct.
So, and that once you get corruption is like a cancer. Once you get corruption entering into one part of society, it spreads everywhere. And so now we've had like this drug fraud going on for a century. Okay. It has led to the corruption of every part of our society. Anyway, so
Correct.
that's a business model. It's not a war. It has nothing to do with morality. It's a business model. And all of these frauds are like that. And yeah.
It literally diminishes all those exactly. You said the plans behind all this, these planned business models, they're not caring about your soul growth, the evolution of humankind. They're caring about, okay, let's just sweep this part of the population aside. And let's just, we don't have to deal with them and we can get all this money to do whatever we want. But that's the problem. that love of power and control and domination has, like I said, superseded anything we wanted to do for the population. Well, that's going to reverse. This is what's going to happen. Literally, I love how you covered those areas because people don't realize all of that, every single pattern is there. And it's been around us for quite some time from the war, what was it, the Spanish-American War? What am I talking about? Napoleon's War, all the way back. These are all controlled, all planned, all patterns. And people, they feel that we have a short memory that we're going to forget. And unfortunately, people do.
We
From
do, we do. And
it.
we're not taught the patterns, right?
Correct.
You know, as I said before, we don't recognize the patterns because we're
Yes.
not taught the patterns. You know,
Yes.
in the book, I tell a funny story about it's an old TV sitcom scene that, you know, it's funny how like little vignettes of things stick in our
Yes.
mental
Yes.
memory for decades and decades, and yet, you know what, like what my wife told me to pick up at the store 10 minutes ago, I forget. You know, I say, you know, my hair used to be a dark brown, and what happened is that all my brains came out into my hair, turned it white, and now I lost my short-term memory. But anyway, but this little scene, and I put it in the book because it explains this idea about not recognizing patterns, right? So the scene is a doctor's office. And the patient is in the office and he's carrying on with his own self-diagnosis. You know, I'm sure doctors laugh about, they tell jokes about patients who come in and say, "Hey, doc, I got cancer. I know it's cancer," because, you know, they've diagnosed themselves, right? And
Right.
so the doctor's half listening to him and half looking at an X-ray photograph in his hand. And when the patient pauses for a moment, the doctor hands him the X-ray and says, "You're pretty knowledgeable. What do you think about this X-ray?" So the patient looks at the X-ray for a couple seconds and says, "That's a compound fracture of the tibia." And the doc says, "Really? Actually, it's a perfectly healthy set of lungs." And it's kind of funny, and we think, "Oh, come on, how can anybody mistake lungs for legs?" But we
Yes.
understand, okay, all of us have seen at some point, right, some X-ray photographs.
Of
And we
course.
know that an X-ray photograph of the lungs appears as a characteristic pattern in shades of light and dark. It's black and white, right? It's not colored. It's shades of light and dark.
Correct.
Well, obviously, the patient wasn't familiar with that pattern, but he wasn't stupid. If he were taught the pattern of lungs, then he'd be able to recognize the pattern of lungs.
Exactly.
And it's a perfect illustration for what's going on in our world, because all of us, we're not taught the patterns of what's really
Correct.
going on. And so we look at the events of the world and we think they're random. Or we think we're seeing something else.
Correct.
So in the book, I teach you the patterns. Here's the pattern of communist subversion. Here's the
Perfect.
pattern of psychological warfare. Here's the pattern of fifth generation warfare. Here's the pattern of fraud. How many people can really describe or explain what a fraud is? Here's the
Exactly.
pattern of fraud. Here's how it works. And then once you understand the patterns, then you can recognize them in the events of the world. And then I go through in the rest of the chapter and say, look, okay, here's the climate fraud. Notice these patterns. Here's the COVID fraud. Notice these patterns. Here's the drug fraud. Here's the financial fraud. Here's this, you know, go through a whole bunch of them. And you know, so that's so important. And you know, you touched on, you said they don't care about our spiritual growth, but
No.
in a sense, I think you could say that, yeah, they do care about our spiritual growth. They want to keep us at a low level
Correct. That is
of
exactly right.
spiritual growth
No growth, but
because,
devolve to devolve
yeah,
into.
because they use fear. If you're in
Correct.
fear, and you've mentioned this before, right? If you're in a state of fear, if your mind is controlled by fear,
Correct.
you are controllable.
Correct.
That's exactly the point. You know, I've recently been reading, I mean, you probably read about this decades ago, but I've been busy being a band director and other stuff. And I haven't been to psychic. It's you know, so the metaphysics and my spiritual growth has been
Yes.
kind of a hobby throughout my whole life.
Yes.
But so I'm just getting around to reading and learning the ideas of Dr. David Hawkins and his map of consciousness. And so in his a map of consciousness. So he has this scale for, especially for the benefit of probably most of our listeners who also, like me aren't or weren't familiar with
Yeah.
this, right? He was able to actually calibrate a level of consciousness, and he created this scale that goes from 0 to 1,000, and it's a logarithmic scale. So, for
Right.
example, the level of 100 is actually 10 to the 100th power, right? And the level of 500 is 10 to the 500th power.
Correct.
So 500 is not like 4 times or, higher than the level of 100. It's actually, 10 with 400 zeros after it, higher than the level of 100. So he
Exponentially
says
so.
that fear, I think it calibrates around 150 or so.
Yes.
And love, that kind of what we call agape love, using the
Right.
Greek words, because in Greek they have 3 words for love, right? It's
Correct.
so handy because we talk about love in English, and the one word means so many different things, right?
Yeah.
But agape is the idea of brotherly love, of
Correct.
universal love. So that's about 500. So it is like 400 orders of magnitude higher than the level of fear. So, and Dr. David Hawkins says that 200 is a critical level in his level of consciousness. At 200 begins courage, right? And this is what we really have to get up to. So below the level of 200 on his map of consciousness, people are essentially controlled,
Correct.
controllable, and thinking that their control is outside themselves, right? At the level of 200, you begin to realize that there is nothing outside of you that controls you. You are controlled from within. And so at level 200 begins courage, the courage to change your own life. And then after courage comes willingness and all these kind of things. And then at the 400s is kind of the level of the intellect, of rational thought, of science. And 500 begins the level of love, which is at a lot, as you were saying in your opening remarks
Yes.
in this interview.
Yes.
Like that level of love, that understanding that we are spiritual beings, it's not arrived at through the mind, through
Correct.
logical deduction. And I actually make that point in my little book, The Band Director's
Perfect.
Pocket Guide to Spiritual
Okay.
Growth,
Perfect.
that we can understand the key purpose of meditation is to actually help us get around our mind, because
Correct.
our mind is kind of like a block to reaching our soul, our spirit.
Correct.
And that is actually more connected to our physical body and our physical sensations, which is part of why, the spiritual a teaching to live always in the present moment. It's
Exactly.
about experiencing what's right now. Everything that is in the past, even experience that. Everything that's in the future, even 1 second in the future, you cannot experience that. The only thing you can experience is the present moment, and it's gone. The present moment, and it's gone, right? And the ancient spiritual idea that life is a river, right? And it's this moment, then it's gone. This moment, then it's gone. This moment, it's all led to water under the bridge, as we say, that's water under the bridge now. Don't worry about it, right? You live in the present moment because that's where we experience. So it's through that experience of the here and now that we can connect with our spirit, not through our mind. And I make the point very strongly too in the book, and because I have a chapter on philosophy,
Okay.
because we're distracted with philosophy. And although most people think, we don't think about philosophy, and I'm not a philosopher, but for my whole life I've had kind of an interest. When I was in high school, I read Plato and stuff like that. I've always had an interest in philosophy. And much of economics, actually, the study of economics is of course completely a mind-based.
Exactly. That's
It's
why I
all—it's all
stopped.
logic. It's all
Yes.
logic, and it stems from a philosophy, etc.
Yes.
So, where was I going with this? Now I've distracted myself.
It's okay.
But yeah. So, philosophy, materialist philosophy, right? The whole kind of academic philosophy of the last century and a half or so is what we call philosophical materialism, which is based on the idea that only material things exist, which is bizarre,
Yeah.
right? It's amazing to me that you read these materialist philosophers and they say, oh, yeah, only material things exist. Like the soul doesn't exist, God doesn't exist, none of that stuff exists. Only material things exist. And then they immediately start talking about things that do not exist in material reality. They exist, they start talking about things that only exist in our mind. And so I make this point very strongly, both in the book and in the presentations that I'm giving to freedom books, freedom groups all across Canada. We must make that distinction that things that exist only in our mind, ideas, they exist only in our mind, not in physical reality. Mental constructs, theories, and even categories exist only in our minds. And another important principle is that we cannot destroy anything that does not exist in material reality. Let that sink in. Let me say it again for our listeners. You cannot destroy anything that does not exist in material reality. And so categories, ideas, theories, mental constructs do not exist. You cannot destroy them. This current idea that we can destroy racism, racism is a mental construct. It's a category. You cannot destroy it. And you know, we've come into this place where people, and most people don't understand this crazy philosophical stuff. This is what's got us into such a disastrous place in our world, is by going along with these ideologies, kind of these nonsense physical, sorry, nonsense philosophical theories. That are ideologies that do not exist, like critical theory. People talking now about, people have all heard the term critical race theory, but that's just a part of critical theory. Okay, so I touch on critical theory in the book. It's all utter nonsense. Okay, so in critical theory, you have racists, or you have racism, and you have anti-racism. Okay, they say it's not possible to have non-racism. You can't be just not a racist. You are either a racist or you're an anti-racist. So you're either one of us or you're evil and need to be destroyed. This is how these ideologies, and I explain this in the book and in the presentations that I give, how these ideologies lead to mass formation, which leads to totalitarianism, which always leads to mass murder.
And
That's the
literally,
whole point.
which is
Literally.
why we're below where we should be in our evolutionary journey. All this suppression has created this. I'm just going to share for a moment. And the School of Evolutionary Astrology shows that there, we'll just call it what David Hawkins says, but at School of Evolutionary Astrology with Jeffrey Wolf Green, they found that there are three levels of humankind. The first level is the average person, but all these levels have three indicators: level 1A, level 1B, level 1C, and that's the consensus, that state. 70% of the world population, they found, is in the consensus state of 1B. 1A is just care, eat, sleep, watch TV, that's it. 1Bs are doing what they're taught by society and the powers that be, and they believe that's what it should be: government, church, state, and they just follow that. They don't think of anything outside that realm. Level 1C are those that say, wait a minute, how can we control the rest of the 70% of the population? And so what they do is they manipulate, they have their big houses, they own the corporations, all the businesses, and they think they're on top. However, there are two levels above that. And that second area is the individuated state. When you in 2A, you start to think, wait a minute, what they're teaching us is incorrect. They've suppressed the right brain. What happens there? Only left brain logic has to exist. And then we move forward to 2B, when we start to really investigate and research the spiritual right side, right brain qualities of life and the universe and the world around us. And then 2C is when we start to utilize it in our work, career, or our practices. Level 3 is the spiritual state, or spirituated state, he calls it. Only 5% of the world population is in that state. Level
Oh,
3.
we're a rare breed, aren't we, Antonia? Got ourselves.
He calls it spiritual, even more than that. Those are the ones that have to go at level 3A, just go and to be park rangers and commune with nature. That's all they want to do. People are fine, but give me nature. And then to 3B, they go into their practice or monasteries, 3C, where they transcend. So we got a long way to go since 70% of the population is in 1B. Okay. So what we want to do is inspire your books, your both of your books, the parable book as well as the, how do I say, what the hell is going on book. Literally, it shows us the parameters. And you've done left and right brain in your books, literally, that kind of focus. And that's also your background and your work. You've done the same throughout all your facility. You left brain and right brain, you combine it, which is what we're supposed to use is whole brain activity. They've literally, how can I say it, suppress right brain activity. Okay, and that's what the thinking for yourself. Left brain, I always say, was not made to deduce solutions. That comes from right brain connecting to the divine universe, which they want to get rid of. The one thing he told me, he says, Antonia, he said, you know, he said, we figured out how to get rid of the elite gentleman. I'm talking about the ex-whistleblower, the ex-elite whistleblower. He told me, he said, the one thing he said we couldn't manage, we could figure out how to get rid of every one of the population except for you guys. He said, they call you new agers. I said, what? He said, yeah, they call you new agers. He said, this is how we did it. He said, we thought and we went through meetings on this for decades, and then we finally realized. He said, you know that movie, The Secret? I said, yes. He said, well, it worked overnight. None of you are going to do anything to stop these plans or what's coming ahead or even investing because you think if you think about it, you'll attract and make it happen. Well, that's not how the laws work. Dr. Wallace Wattles, I had already studied long ago, had several laws, law of karma, law of grace, law of forgiveness. There's several laws, not just one law of the attraction. And he said it worked overnight. We were toasting the next day. He said, we backed that movie hot and heavy financially. It worked. None of you guys are going to do anything to stop this. And I just sat there shocked. Because he had just wiped out those people that here on a soul mission to help make this new world that we keep talking about, this more evolutionarily evolved world, this more spiritualized world. We don't have to be perfectionists. What happens to be is care about one another because we are one. But literally what happens is in the highest ways, we're supposed to use this process with nature, with how we deal with the earth, the whole shot. So it was interesting when he said that. Because I thought, oh my God, they just wiped out the core that was supposed to rebuild what they are trying to diminish and tear down for their new world order, so to speak. It won't work. They won't win, but we have this push. Now, what we see now is what you've done, all these great researches that you've done for people to look at all the realms of how they've done this to these patterns and to control us. Now, what's happening now is ultimately, it's a point where we're being able to realize what they've really done to us. They want to incite anger, which is what they, Daryl Hawkins would say, or David Hawkins, sorry, or anyone would say is a low vibe energy. And what we're trying to do is evolve that vibratory rate or that energy on the planet as well as the collective consciousness. And so what happens is if they diminish you by making you angry, they just want again. So instead of being angry, that's a choice of emotion, or being in fear, like you mentioned, false evidence appearing as real. It blocks the intuition that you need right now and it throws you off track. What we have to do is to look, contemplate, and don't comply. That's all you need to do.
And I have, throughout my book, I repeat this little mantra. In this spiritual war, our strategy is love, our tactic is forgiveness, our
Bingo.
weapon is nonviolent non-cooperation.
That's the
Because
way
we
I
can't,
see it.
we cannot allow
You froze for a
to that
second.
lower level of consciousness that involves
Yes.
violence, anger, hatred.
Yes.
And I make the point very strongly in the book. Everyone listening, right? You are
Yes.
in control of yourself.
Yes.
You like to if you're being drawn down into that, you are choosing
Correct.
that. And you can choose differently. You can choose the state of universal love. You
Correct.
have that power within you. And we have forgotten what power lies within every human heart.
Correct.
And we need to return to that, to draw on the strength of ourselves and to choose love. And as I say, and as you know very clearly, and I'm sure you teach in your courses and stuff,
Yes.
that's why we're in this world. If
Bingo.
ever, you know, if as Jesus said, you know what, if you love only those who love you, what credit is that?
Thank you.
Everybody does that,
Thank
right?
you.
No, your challenge, the reason you're here. We're here, and as I say very clearly in my book of parables, our purpose, everyone's purpose here. We have, in the book of parables, I say that I think that we're all here for, we all have a general purpose, and we
Correct.
all have a specific purpose. And the
Correct.
general purpose that all of us share is we're here to learn to love.
Thank you.
But But if everybody loved you, if your just days were all bliss and everyone you encountered was just loving and kind and sweet, well, how would you ever learn to love? You learn to
Bingo.
love by encountering those bastards who are mean to you, the
Exactly.
psychopaths you have to deal with, the cruel people, the people who
Correct.
insult you, and that it's those people you have to learn to love.
Correct.
Because
Correct.
if it wasn't for them, then you would never really be choosing love.
You wouldn't understand the need for this. And that's exactly, and
Yeah.
that is also your test of your spiritual awareness. Can you still love this person? In fact, I'm telling you, I've been praying for the elite for many years. So the whole point is to hopefully they will get their own awareness in their own time. And each person in your family, I've seen families destroyed during this last 3-year period.
Yes.
I've seen lives destroyed. And what happens is, how can you rise to your highest and best reaction or dealing with the person? So this divide and conquer principle that they have implemented won't work. So we unify with one another. I don't care what your choice was, what ours, let's work together to, how can I say, offset what that has done. That's the wrong direction they're taking it. So we win this. I remember, like I said, Casey saw ahead. I'm going to remind the audience again. This is the key. If you keep focusing on, again, that non-compliance and exactly what you said, loving even when it's not easy to love. You don't have to take their garbage to take their crap, but extend that emotion because they're going to get theirs anyway. One of those laws, law of karma, law of grace, law of forgiveness, all that. But I want you to please state where we can find the book or locate for the book for them. How can they find your books, actually?
Yeah, every place you buy books online, you can find my books.
Okay.
So, you know,
Show us the
as I
title
say in my
again.
website, I give a bunch of links and say, if you must, you can also get it from Amazon. But
Okay.
the simplest place to go to find out more about me, more about my books, and to have find direct links to purchase all of them is to go right to my website, which is easy to understand, www dot, of course, and then cominghomespirit.com. And the idea of that name is that all of us are on a spiritual journey back home to God. So
Exactly.
cominghomespirit.com is my author website, and you can find direct links there to buy all my books and more information about me and about my books. And you can sign up to get my blog when I get around to it. And
Okay.
it won't overload your inbox anyway.
Can you show us the title of the books, please, so we can see again?
Sure. So for those of you who are watching on video, and it looks backwards on my screen, but it might look
It's fine.
backwards on yours. Okay, what the hell is going on? The web of fraud that is enslaving everyone, and how we can escape to freedom. And then
Excellent.
on the front, I have pictures that to kind of represent what I call the four big frauds. So
Perfect.
there's four pictures representing, you know, the war on drugs, the war on terror, the war on the climate, and the war on the virus.
Perfect. Thank you. And today I want to thank you for coming on and sharing what you've shown. Literally, it's for the benefit of the world. If they could pick up your book and see where all these trails lead, learn these patterns, the things that you're pointing out to them, that awareness inspires somebody else. So that's how we lift that co collective consciousness. But as my gift back to you for being my guest, I'd like to give a mini reading on the air for you, if you don't mind. We'll cover one specific question. I'll help you phrase it if you need it. But I do this as my gift back to you for coming on. But I've been psychic since childhood. I've done over 50,000 readings in my career. I am psychic, clairvoyant, clairaudient. I see and hear. I just use tarot, astrology, numerology, palmistry, graphology in the highest ways that they were intended for a third point of reference only from what I'm seeing or receiving. My real reading is a 1 hour. I can't do that on the air for you here, but for this mini reading, they'll tell you the answer to the question, how can I say it, and all about it, how it affects your life. And always you have free will to apply the information or not. And the why I do it on the air is to show the difference between a professional psychic and a storefront gypsy. There's quite a difference, okay? And so I want to perhaps help you to think about a subject matter that is important to you. And you can
Oh,
ask
well,
later.
absolutely. Since you're leaving that up to me, thank you very
Yes.
much for both for the reading and for allowing. So, what you know, as I say, I repeat this. It's I didn't come up with it, but in my book of parables, I say, if you want to make God laugh, make plans.
I always say
So,
that. How
yeah.
do you
So
make
make,
God laugh? Tell him your plans. I say
yeah,
that
make
all the
plans.
time.
So you know, and it's funny because. You know, yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, setting goals, making plans my whole life. And for most of my life, just have never worked out. And obviously God has a different plan. So I've gradually and very painfully in my life come to the realization that, hey, quit making plans. So I just kind of try to be attuned to where you're being guided to go in life. So I don't have long-term or even medium-term plans for my own kind of professional life. A few years ago, I took a different turn and started a new career as a spiritual author and speaker, and it's been an adventure since then. So what I would most like is your insight on where I should be going with my professional
Okay,
or
that's an hour
work
long,
life.
so we're going to make it more succinct. I want you to focus on a direction you thought about going for your next phase of your life, or an area, or a focus in that way, or an arena of thought or subject matter. And one thing, just one, because a general reading is, like I said, 1 hour. I can go for broke on that, but for something mini here. So, do you have that in your mind right now?
So,
Or
narrow that down.
narrow down a specific question.
Okay, what is the next product, you might say? I mean, as a writer,
Okay,
product as a writer, what is the next product
that's
or
still
project that I
open-ended.
should be working on?
Let's focus on one you have in your mind. You can name three, but focus on number one in your mind now. One project. Do you have it in your mind?
Okay, should I be working on developing a summary of the What the Hell book, a
Okay, good.
summary of solutions?
Okay, good. I want you to focus. I'm going to suggest you phrase it this way, and you're going to say it non-verbally. And you're not asking me, Donald. You're asking directly to God and divine universe, okay, literally. But I'm going to be picking up on what you're receiving. So, what I'd like you to do is to form it this way. Would it be best, because we can should anything, sure, you should. That's the
Okay.
universe. Would it be best for the greatest highest good of my soul to go in this direction to produce the solutions book? Think it to the divine, the way you'd like to phrase it. And think in your heart how much you, in your own way, love God and the divine universe as you do so. You're directing it directly straight to God. Would it be best for the greatest highest good of your soul to do? And then think of the direction and say, stop shuffling whenever you say, what your heart says, actually, you're ready for me to stop. Best for the greatest highest good of your soul to go to the solutions direction. And whenever your heart says, you can say, stop shuffling.
You want me to say it out loud? Okay. So, oh, you're shuffling the deck. I thought, I'm sorry. I thought it was me. You know how your mind goes around?
No, don't worry.
I thought it was me shuffling ideas in my mind. Okay,
No,
stop
hold on.
shuffling.
Okay,
Okay,
hold.
stop shuffling.
That was it. Okay, literally, what happens with the tarot? There's 78 cards, but it's to open the God's eye, this particular deck, and to open the God's eye, literally, to hear the divine. But it's not what I think. I have to actually hear your guide is how I do this. They literally, during a reading, put me in your body. I see it through your eyes. I feel it as you would physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. How can I say it? They pull me out back and forth through the reading. Then they show me you in scenes. And then, because I'm a hard and fast skeptic, I'm confirming with the tarot, astrology, numerology, palmistry, graphology, all those other as a third point of reference modalities. But on the pathway you're headed, the solutions book, the answer is a definite yes. It also shows me on the pathway you're headed, you're going to have to make some compromises about how they said, how you're going to structure the book. You have one plan, and I see that's diminished to another plan that is offset. And then you're going to try to tie the two together. So it looks like two layouts for it. It also shows me your attitude or approaches. You're trying to figure out underneath all this. It shows me what's happening in your world by doing this. You're trying to figure out, should you continue a certain direction with someone or should you not? Should you go deeper or not with a particular person? And underneath, it shows me that there's a really wonderful event happening. Could be some sort of family reunion or family gathering coming up. And family is just wonderful for about 3 hours maximum. Get a reset. Go take a walk. Go to the grocery store. Come back. Because as adults, family is quite different. First hour, they're so sweet and loving. But what happens is those beautiful moments of reconnection is showing me it's their memories that come after you leave that event. And it brings wonderful, good stuff back into your life. But get that, don't stay 2.59 minutes. Go. And then come back. But it does show me, because all of a sudden they start being carping on you, and what do you look like? Why are you doing this? It gets crazy. It's just family. But what happens is it shows me God and the divine universe's influence on this path that you're choosing to for the next project or process. It showed me it's divinely guided. It shows me you may be coming up to an interview with somebody and heard them say a counsel of some sort. I'm not sure what this is, but it's God in the universe. You won't know what to say or how to answer. And actually, it's literally God in the universe sitting on top of your head, and the words come out of your mouth. They're not yours. They're divinely guided. And you walk out there and they go, "That's exactly what we needed. Thank you. Yes, 50 million of those, you know." So they offer you that and you're going, "Wow, did I say that?" You really didn't. And you realize that as you got out, but it's the divine giving you the exact words you needed to say. It also shows me on the path where you're headed. You want to, how can I say it, focus on, like you said, the beautiful flow you have through your life, for your personal life as well. You want to allow the highest and best to happen. We have sometimes choices in our life. Some are low tier, some are mid, and some are higher. And so what you want to do based on your attitude, your approach, and opening to the divine to be guided and led. We choose all of our partnerships or relationships before we're born. We choose the same 6 to 8 mates out of hundreds of lives. You know, we think that they're new, but not really. Okay, so what ends up happening is for greater soul growth. And so you're trying to figure out how you handle all those things. But I would suggest asking the divine universe if it is best, please allow this to come together in the best way possible for all involved. Or you can say, if this is not good for me, please take this person out of my life in the best way possible for all involved. It's a lot easier. We, how can I say, think we know everything with that 2% of the brain we keep using. However, the divine universe knows everything. Your guide, the divine universe, wants you to have your highest and best experience. And we kind of sully that with our choices. So, always like you were doing with going with the flow with your life, that plan, ask the divine, if this is best, please allow this to come together. The answer is yes to the direction you're supposed to have. And it shows me you'll be going on your normal days. All of a sudden, they said you get a call. And it's exactly about this solution or this opportunity that you should have. These options they just said for yourself regarding this next book. And I even see the book and the color. It looks like it's a different size than this particular book, but but it does show me here, this is God's promise that you're going to get exactly what you want from this. They said the solutions are real. It also shows me on the pathway headed in the last 3 weeks of the next 3 weeks, in your own way through nature, you're plugging back into a higher level of the divine universe, God creator, as you go through. And that sometimes we forget. We go through the normal state of life, the hamster wheel, and then we realize, oh, we need to continue that plug in, that divine connection. It does show me here on the pathway headed, there's some sort of deal or some sort of arrangement that will be made for you coming up. It could be as early as the next 3 to 6 weeks, longer if you delay it or detain it 3 to 6 months, it shows me. So it could be the start in the next 3 to 6 weeks, and somebody says, yeah, we want this, and it gives you that 6 month start to, or that ability to finish it. But on the path you're headed, the answer is yes. All righty, I want to thank you so much today for coming on, how can I say, for the audience's benefit. And literally open up to the world the books on your website. Please tell them again before we go.
Oh yeah, my recent one, What the Hell Is Going On? And then my other two books that are more exclusively spiritually focused that are in my kind of the Band Director series, the Book of Parables, the Band Director's Lessons About Life, and my little the Band Director's Pocket Guide to Spiritual Growth, which I mean you're really familiar even
Yes.
more than I am with it with the Edgar Casey material. I mean
Yes.
that does draw on many of the ideas of Edgar Casey and
Good.
I do introduction.
Perfect. And that website again so they can remember to.
Cominghomespirit.com.
Very much. Thank you so much for coming today. And I want to wish the audience all the best.